Welcome to the Hypermanic Noise podcast. This one I'm really stoked about. I got to catch up with a good mate of mine, Tim Price. He's the man behind the Faction Radio. It's a metal station that started in Australia about 7 or 8 months ago, I guess. They've now got an app on iTunes. They've got an app on Android. You can stream it from the website 100% free. The best new music from Australia and around the world. I'm on there doing interviews. I've done interviews on there with a bunch of bands. It's a great station. So Price has kicked that off. Him and I actually started putting gigs together in Central Queensland way back in 2005, I think it was. And yeah, all these years later, we're still working together. He's killing it in the music industry, and he's a great dude. So anyone in a band, any comedians, anyone trying to get anywhere in the with their craft, this is a really good one to listen to. Price is a PR guy. He's worked with Steel Panther, Rise Against, Meshuggah, all these big bands. He knows what to do to get your name out there. So have a listen, learn, and there's a lot of stupid stories from back in the day as well to keep you entertained. So have fun with Pricey from Collision Course PR and the Faction Radio.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning, this episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic Noise.
All right, welcome, Pricey. Tim Price, how are you, man?
Oh, dude, I'm very well.
That's good. Good to talk to you. It's been a long time. We've known each other a long time.
Dude, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been 10 plus, at least.
Yeah, I was just saying to Tish this morning, I've hit you in the balls more than anyone else on earth.
Oh, man, I distinctly remember getting dropped to my knees in O'Dowd a number of times. I'd just be standing and talking to someone else, and the next thing I find myself on the floor writhing in pain and a Hayden Mitten running away laughing maniacally.
I had a lot of problems. I do want to apologize for that, but it was funny. So
well, yeah, look, you know,
I can only be so sorry. Just to introduce you to anybody that doesn't know you, so you run Collision Course PR.
Yes, that's correct.
So, and what do you do there?
So, my job is to find bands and work with bands and labels and make sure that all of the places that you would usually hear about heavy music are talking about those bands and are playing those bands on the radio and making sure that, yeah, people are talking about the bands that I'm working with.
Cool. That's very well summed up. There you go.
Yeah.
And then your other baby is the Faction Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that started about 6 months ago. And, you know, with about 12 months before that in building it and getting the concept and the idea right and building that. But essentially it's a 24/7 streaming music for heavy music, heavy music app for heavy bands and music, and we're lucky enough to feature some interviews from Douglas Harvey yourself.
Oh yeah, that guy. He's got a massive dick, hey. It's like at least an inch long. It's really, really,
man,
impressive.
You know, some women call it a micro penis, other call it, you know, a mushroom.
Potato, you know, it's all glass half full, penis half developed, yeah. You know, however you look at it. It's unimpressive, but it's there, Pricey. That's the important thing.
I always love the look. It's small, but it goes like a sewing needle, sort of deal.
That's good.
You know that. You know. Oh well, you make up for it in other ways, eh? Like you go for it like the clappers. You might not have the girth or the length, but go like the clappers. You know.
That's it. You know. Well, look. All those Rocky movies, he wasn't the best boxer. He had heart.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the effort made.
Yeah, see, I knew it was... See, I was so excited to talk to you today that I stayed up all night, and I knew it was worth it, Pricey. I'm sitting here.
Yeah,
I got
dude.
A boner. I'm fucking...
I'm impressed.
Got some Vaso, got some Doritos. I'm ready to rock.
Sounds like a night in Rockhampton.
Oh, the fuck, man. We'll get into that. But
I know it's coming.
Oh, we've got some good ones there. some fun adventures in Central Queensland amongst the people who vote for Pauline Hanson. It's like when I have to explain to people where I'm from, it's like, it's basically
that gives you the flavor, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
That really sets the tone. right.
Yeah.
Oh, I get you now.
Yeah. That's all you need to say. Well, anyway, look, these people that we're going to watch a bit of a video here, and we're going to try and work around technological limitations. But you've got a media outlet, the Faction Radio, and you're always out there hunting for new music. And I know it's not a rap station, Pricey, but just give it a go. All right.
Here we go. We got 2:24 of vegan rap.
Yeah, that's
in bracket. Don't use the name of an animal as an insult.
That's the one. Let's do it.
Your dog. All right, let's rock it.
All right,
here we go.
All
right. I'm digging the laid back beat.
If you gain weight far too much,
I like that the two old people just sat in chairs.
I respect you and cows.
Don't use cow as an insult.
I respect you and cows.
You eat every single fig. I will never call you a pig. I respect you and pigs.
Don't use pigs and insults.
Oh, no.
Animals are innocent.
And I love the dude in the background.
Is he wearing a colander on his head?
It's like a beret.
Yeah, it is.
I've got a story about that guy in a minute as well. But this is.
Wow.
I respect you and sheep. Don't use sheep as an insult.
I'm gonna stop it there. it's getting a little. It's like, all right. I will never call you a sheep. Don't use sheep as an insult. Like, it's very repetitive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's just insert next animal there.
My favorite one is something, if someone's not nice, I'll never call you a bitch. I respect women and female dogs. Don't it's so fucked.
And
the best part,
why do people think this is a good idea?
The best part is that they think this is a good angle to get their message out.
Yeah.
And, the guy on the right, the old boy, he looks like he's about to have a fucking seizure the whole way through. And old mate in the background, he's done videos talking about, if you're a vegan, I want to lick your vegan vagina. If you look up...
No!
If you Google vegan vagina guy, it's basically him going down on the camera, like... simulating going down.
No.
All the lucky women that are vegan.
No.
And he's one of a kind.
I know some amazing vegan women and they would not go near this guy.
Me too.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. Don't use the name of
it. Do you think that perhaps that this is a married couple and that's one that still lives with them at 37?
We can only hope.
Do you think that that's
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised with these sort of Muppets if they're a married couple and that's the younger boyfriend of the two.
Old mate's a cuckold. Right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wowzers.
Wow. Well, I think when we hit the word
to start off with.
Yeah, well, hitting the word cuckold is when we start talking about where we come from, I think, mate. We're at Rockhampton. So you and I met, it was 2004, and we met at a music industry workshop with the Butterfly Effect.
Prior to the Butterfly Effect, yeah.
That is right. And then, was it last year that you worked on the release of...
Late 2016 into 2017, we released their vinyl. That was quite a moment for me. There was, because they really did have a lot to do with where I first sort of found the spark that the industry that I wanted to work in.
100%.
I can honestly say that day was a real foundation moment for me. And not only that, one, it was the first time I ever saw your band play. And it was also the day that I met Stephen Green, who in the future became my business partner. He was the publicist for the Butterfly Effect at the time, and he came up with them. And yeah, you know, got to know him then and eventually ended up in business with him. So,
well, it's also crazy. Like you, myself, Craig Zonka, we all went hell for leather. Craig Zonka is now the main ABC guy in Queensland.
Dude, he was the voiceover for all the Anzac Day parade stuff here in Brisbane, like for ABC Radio. Like the guy is, yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, and then you're out there, you've got the faction, you're doing all your PR stuff. I'm over here sucking dicks for change. But it's good to see two of
and
us did well.
Amazingly doing stand-up, bro.
I'm doing all right, man. But it's just crazy that day really, I mean, I'm not performing in a band anymore, but that really did set in motion everything for me as well. It really sort of kicked all three of us in the ass.
It really did, man. And, when I walked into the venue that afternoon where we were seeing like that whole show that obviously finished with Butterfly Effect, yours was the first band I saw. As I walked down the hill, you guys had just gone on. And I distinctly remember the moment that I just went, I love this band. This is great. Like the metal that you were playing, I just remember it was a segment of, it must have been one of those early songs where you were playing a lot of really Iron Maiden sort of influence stuff. As you went on and changed guitars, you ended up in a lot more heavier stuff, a lot more Whitechapel sort of stuff. But when you were playing with Hedges, like that was a lot more Iron Maiden stuff. And I remember there was a breakdown, and then it just went straight into like, You went into one of your like massive falsetto things, and I just went, oh, that is like it just hit all of the bits of metal that you expected for it to hit. It ticked all the boxes, and I just remember going, this is a local band. This is amazing. I'm so stoked. And then like we actually got to like know each other, and yeah, like that was really cool. And like honestly, man, like I can probably. I mean, I was into heavy music before I knew you, but a lot of the stuff that I'm into now, a lot of stuff that I know of and use as, you know, sort of inspiration for programming the faction, I trace back to nights we were driving around in your little red Gex. and you know, like, I just remember you playing End of Heartache by Killswitch Engage and just, like, cranking that up and going, dude, you've got to fucking listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of it I trace back to.
That's
to,
cool, man.
To that, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they were fun days, and you know, I think a lot of people probably get the idea. Like, if you're born in a major city, you take it for granted. People are always bitching about Perth, and I just think, go fuck yourself. You don't know what it's like to live somewhere boring. There's heaps of shit on here.
Yeah,
and you've got to make something happen. And you know, for you, you were a teacher at football academy,
aptly named. Yes.
Yeah. So, which is a school in Central Queensland, which is basically known for creating football players, and they can do whatever the fuck they want all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty. Spot on there.
They've created a few of the football players that you would know on the field today and are in trouble with the law. You know,
what a shock!
I won't name names. Let's not get litigious.
let's be fair too. If we started naming names, we'd be here a while.
Yeah,
there's a few, but
yeah.
You had a gutful, and you were still teaching when I met you, and you were still teaching for a few years, and then you sort of got involved with the A Venue Council work. And
yeah.
Were you fucking scared? What was it? Did you have a job when you moved to Brisbane, or was it all moving there to start this?
No, I didn't. What had happened was I was with another partner. I had a partner at the time that I was engaged to. who is like a different woman to the wife I have now. But
I remember, yes.
And she had already got a job down here in Brisbane, and she moved down here, I think, somewhere in between 3 and 6 months before I moved down, because I had to stay back in Rocky and sell our house and get our lives together and move it all down. And I don't know why I didn't apply for jobs before I went down, but I basically got there, and the day after I arrived in Brisbane, I just started walking around in the valley and just like walking into venues and going, hey, I can mix bands. Will you give me a job? And I got a job at Rick's, which is in the Valley Mall. And just started. And it was like the most horrible place to mix in the world, because you mix the band side of stage, and the stage was probably smaller than the stage that they had in the front bar at O'Dowd's, let alone the back bar.
Oh, shit. And, that's always good.
And it was a length-ways room, but the band played a width-way, so you played, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, I know what you're saying,
And the speakers were... So I was standing side of that stage looking at the front door, and the speakers hung, the front of house speakers hung above the front door, looking like to the right of the band.
That sounds really good, man.
It was horrible. It was really hard to mix in there, but it was a good break. And it was, you know, I met tons and tons of bands there that I mixed that are now like that are, you know, that are, have either gone on to be huge or, you know, or have gone on to play in other bands, you know, not necessarily in heavy genre, because there wasn't a lot of heavy stuff there at Rick's, but, you know, like I mixed Hungry Kids of Hungary's first show, and I mixed like the DZ Death Race dudes early on, and Velociraptor, and like just a bunch of bands that came out of that, like Brisbane circa 2008 to 2010, but Ballpark Music, like a whole bunch of bands there that like were basically the John Steele Singers, like bands that were like that, like dominated Triple J at that time. And that, like, that was pretty nuts for me, like that I'm here in this bar just getting, like, I didn't even know what band I was mixing, because it was 7 nights a week they had music, and I'd just turn up and whoever was on that night, I'd mix them, you know, like it wasn't. And it was always free entry, and it was always, you know, just raucous in there. It was, like, that really, like, on the fly, things going wrong, sort out, crawl between the punters to fix the problem sort of thing. It was, really hectic.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Well, nothing beats back in the day mixing a Laura Foe. Do you remember them?
Oh, I do.
There is no one listening who would have ever heard of them, but
no, absolutely not.
Wombat, the old guitarist in my band, described it perfectly. He called it Napoleon Dynamite the musical, and that just fucking, you don't even need to hear them and you just get it. Oh shit. Now that's good, man. I'm not gonna lie, like, that's a good story of you getting down there and hustling and finding a job. But when you said I just started walking around the valley, I was hoping it was going to be, and just started sucking dicks, and but it wasn't. Disappointing.
I remember. Do you remember what happened when we came down from Rockhampton for Big Sound 1 year?
Which year? Which incident?
The year that I was sleeping on the bunk above you.
Oh, I remember lots of things from that year. Yeah, I remember you being absolutely shit tanked.
And I didn't realize it, but I had vomited in the middle of the night over the side of the bed.
That's right, you cunt. Oh,
all in your bag.
Oh, that's right, you fucker. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I forgot about that. You motherfucker, that's right. Oh, but that was
your toiletries bag.
That's, you did. I threw it out. You can't. I love that toiletries bag.
I remember, I got hit a lot that day.
Oh, shit. Violence isn't the answer, but hey, sometimes it does work.
And the awesome thing about it was, like, first of all, I took my punishment because it's a dog act. And two, my immediate superior, like, who was there supervising us, like, I was there representing the council.
The council.
I was there supposed to be overseeing everyone, and I was the most shit-faced off everyone. And she just went, you hit me a bunch of times. And she was like, oh, man, what can I say? You deserve that.
Yeah. That's not normally professional conduct to just start laying into someone, but you did fuck up my toiletries bag. And that was an heirloom. That was from my great-grandmother. It meant a lot to me.
You did say that at the time. So either you've recycled the joke or it's for real.
I'm a sociopath. I'm really good at lying. So what advice can you give to people that are wanting to... I'm not even really talking get into the music industry, but arts in general.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to set, you've set this up yourself. Like, setting up, you know, I'm not going to fucking put your bank statement out there, but setting up something like radio thing is not a cheap thing to do. It takes a lot of time and a lot of money to get it up and running. What's the plan of attack, you know, for what can people, even bands touring, I think this would apply to. Just as far as getting your ducks in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, I guess in one regard, like, we're pretty lucky in that, like, Vision Course PR, we're doing okay. So essentially what it meant was for, you know, that 6 to 12 months there where we were getting it together, you know, I was just taking a little bit of a pay cut, and my business partner was taking a bit of a pay cut, and we'd put that aside to pay for everything. As we were setting it all up. So I guess, you know, to equate that, I mean, it'd probably be the case of, you know, if there's a five-piece band, the five of you putting a little bit of your pay into a separate bank account every month that serves as the savings for the band, so you don't have to bankrupt yourself every time you want to go on a tour.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so it's kind of the equivalent of squirreling away some cash from the earnings that you make from your day job. So, yeah, like at the moment, you know, the faction doesn't necessarily earn anything, but we're building it to the point where there's enough of an audience and enough of a social reach and enough point of contact with the audience we have. So, you know, on email, on the ability to push notification, the ability to, you know, reach them on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, over the actual audio stream, that there's enough of an audience there that there's an impetus for people to advertise with us in that stream. And I don't mean, you know, like, we're not going to just take, you know, this, you know, an advertising stream like Lambwood, where they, you know, not to single them out, but just anyone, you know, where it'd be, you know, advertising the specials at Coles that week or whatever. Like, it's, you know, we'd be going out to stuff that's going to appeal to people that are into metal and heavy music. So, you know, you're going to hear ads about tours that are coming up. You're going to hear albums that are coming up, you know, merch brands or labels that have, you know, releases or compilations that they're releasing, that sort of stuff. Even, you know, slightly disassociated from music brands, you know, maybe even like video games you know, stuff that people that are into heavy music are generally into. But it's also not going to be overly intrusive either. You're not going to get 10-minute ad blocks. You're going to get, you know, one ad, you know, in between two songs, and then, you know, you'll hear three songs and then another ad or two. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be all of a sudden, you know, getting punished by ads every, you know, for 5 minutes solid. Because, you know, part of what we're doing here is not to give you shits when you listen to it. It's, you know, the point of it is that, you know, there isn't many other outlets to be served up new heavy music 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily, you know, go searching for it. We're going to serve it up to you. And, you know, that we all know that, you know, repetition is how you, you know, break hit, as much as it's annoying sometimes, but we're not, you know, we're not playing Barnsley 15 times a day, you know? It's new heavy music, which is like, there's a, you know, somewhat of a model of, you know, we're modeling a little bit off the same sort of rotation idea that Triple J has, in that, you know, they have a feature album, there's rotation songs that are going to come up more often than others. And they're the ones that we think are the tracks that are going to be big, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's good because, well, I think the appeal of radio in the first place is that it does give you shit that you don't know. And I stopped listening to radio forever because there was nothing for me there.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
And it's good now. Obviously, there's Hoag and you know, he's been doing his thing. And then with what you guys are doing with the Faction, it's nice to just chuck it on and see what's on there. There's a lot of Aussie stuff. There's a lot of international stuff.
Yeah.
It's it's a widespread, which is good because you're going to, you know.
Yeah, and I listen to it constantly too, man. So like, if there's something in there that I put in and like, you know, I might listen to it in isolation before I put it into the playlist and go, oh yeah, this is a fit. And then I'll put it in and it, like, it's weird, man. It's the same song and I'm listening to it through the same speakers and all that sort of stuff. But actually on the radio, surrounded by other stuff, you just go, it doesn't work. And I'll take it out. Like, it just, there's something about the fact that it is a live stream, that there are people listening, that there's a community that is listening. There's like, there's an energy about it. And sometimes that energy just falls flat and you just go, okay, I'm taking that out.
Yeah.
Cause I'll go either go, all right, that's not as heavy as I thought it was. And the audience is just going to be like, what's this doing on the station? Or I'll listen to it in stream and just go like, oh, that song is like 3 minutes too long and I'm bored and I'll take it out, you know, like it's, and like, I get the difference between like heavy music is obviously longer than pop music and, you know, prog music obviously traditionally is, you know, 7 and 8 minute songs or, you know, even 5 minutes plus. And I know the difference between like a good song that is an 8 minute song and keeps you engaged and an 8 minute song that's just wank. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So sometimes I've got to, you know, just drop the hammer and you hit skip, and it just fades out into the next like little, you know, radio ID and just goes into the next song. And, you know, I don't think anyone's ever got like called me out on it. And go, hey, why'd you fucking cut off that Def Evans song? Or, you know, what, you know, just for example, but you know what I mean? Like usually it's, you know, if I'm bored, I don't want to bore my listeners. So I cut it off.
Yeah, fair enough. That's good. So, with things like press kits and all that sort of stuff, I mean, you and I went to a lot of the same workshops and things over the years. Do you think that's all still to sort of remain the same, that people just want a simple one page that tells you who you are, how to contact you, what you've done and what you sound like?
Yeah, absolutely. Like for no, like other, even if you don't use it for anything else, but like it's just really good. Like if you're about to go into a campaign where you're going to release something new and you're working with a PR person, you know, for the first time or whatever, like if you can hit me with that I can just take all of the key points out of and craft that into a press release, that's so much easier than trying to, like, trawl through your Facebook page and try and get a vibe of who you are. And, you know, oftentimes bands just have the people's names listed, not what they play on their Facebook. And sometimes they'll have ridiculous names for themselves that, like, no one else calls them. They just thought it would be funny. You know, like, just stuff like that. And it just, or, you know, like, they'll leave off like their hometown or like, just like if you've got it together in one document and you can send that to me. And you know, the same's going to go if you're trying to pitch yourself for support for a band or a tour or whatever. The, you know, just that ability to be like, this is us. This is us in a nutshell. And you know, here's the three best YouTube links for what we do. This will give you a vibe of who we are and what we're about and the bands we've supported, you know, not a, you know, page long of it, but give me the 5 to 10 best sports you've done or, you know, headline shows you've done. Like that's the crux of what you need to know. It's not, I don't need 7 pages worth of every show you've ever played or anything like that.
Keep going.
Like the thing that I hear most from bands is like, oh, it's hard to write about myself. And yes, I get that. But you know, that's when it's worth every cent to either then get on the phone with me and pay a little bit extra and I'll write your bio for you that you can reuse, or you know, pay someone else in your local community, another manager around town, or there's always you know, or even your state music body, like your music here in Queensland or Wham over in Perth, like they'd have a directory of people who can write bios for you or you know whatever. Like that, it's worth every cent because it sells you so much better than, oh yeah, we formed in 2014 and we had a few lineup changes because the guitarist wasn't getting along with the bass player, and then you know we thought we'd record something. Like it's like fucking meandering shit, you know. Like that's all well and good. That's your history. That's not your bio.
All that shit. You just say we formed in this year. After a few lineup changes, we released this. Like that's all they need. That and even that you probably don't need. But
exactly. There's definitely a difference between writing the entire history of the band and a bio. Like a bio is far more descriptive and informative in such a shorter format than you'd ever think you'd need.
Yeah, 100%, man. Oh fuck! All right. Yeah. So
hey, lay off the bombs.
No.
I said no.
All right. Yeah. What's that? The Babadook or some shit?
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought that was quoting the Babadook, but or either that or Brett Glover. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah.
In the comedy scene, no one knows what a fucking press kit is.
Weird. You would think that would be part and parcel because, like, you're literally just selling yourself. I thought that'd be 101.
The top few guys have got them, but most of the others, and I'm talking people, you know, Raw State finalists and things like that. Even the guy that went to the Nationals didn't even know what it was till I told him.
You would think like YouTube and all of that sort of stuff would be so integral to building a fan base.
Well, they've got YouTube and things. It's just a simple A4 document with their contact. Because this is the way I put it, right? I can email a comedy room or a metal promoter, interchangeable, doesn't matter. I can email them or Facebook message them and say, hey, I'm this band from so-and-so. We're coming over. Can we play? We've played with these bands, blah, blah, blah. I could put that all in an email. Or I could put that in an email succinctly, and then I can say, here's my bio, my press
APK kit. APK or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you've got two people contacting you, and one person's just sent you a fucking Facebook message, the other person sent you links to their MySpace. Fuck, what am I talking about? they sent you a chain letter, but... But you know what I'm saying?
Sealed with wax.
If you've got two cunts that are claiming the same shit and one of them has got even having a footer at your email with all your contact details, all this sort of stuff, people don't think about it. And for the sake of half an hour, you can you automatically look more professional than you are, or you look as professional as you are, but if you didn't go to the effort, you wouldn't look professional.
That's a bit mind-blowing to me, man. Like, that, you know, that just seems like 101.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's strange, man. There's a lot of things that bands do that comedians just don't.
There you go.
Yeah, I like the concept. We tried to do a mixtape, so a compilation album. Every comedian does 5 to 7 minutes, and then we all get digital download cards and hand them out. But it was a clusterfuck. We had terrible numbers, and the guys on it were brilliant. It's nothing to do with them. It was just we had terrible numbers, and unfortunately, we had issues with the sound, and it just sounded crap. There wasn't many people there. It just wasn't doing justice to everybody. Right. But something like that in the metal scene, that's where I got the idea from, because it's been happening for fucking ever.
Just thought it might work in that regard, man. It's like, maybe keep it even simpler and literally get everyone to, like, basically it'd almost be like just like a little comedian collective, and you actually just create a YouTube playlist of the 5 to 7 minutes of your best stuff. And just send that one link to people, and, you know, you might get work as a collective, like the 5 of you get hired for a show, or the, you know, to go, all right, I want two or three of you out of that block of stuff you're sending, or whatever. Like, maybe there's something there in that. It's almost like a label.
We're I'm actually putting together a podcast network as well. So that's the idea with that, is to just get a bunch of people that I know that are doing podcasts, just put them all under the same banner, and, you know?
Yeah.
So the whole... Absolutely. Like, for that, it's just, I'm setting up a website. It'll be under... there'll be an iTunes network.
Fuck yeah.
And then all of the shows will come under that. They'll all be listed on the website. Everyone has the rights to everything. If they get a deal with ABC, fucking good on you. See you later. It's all just about pumping each other up.
Yeah, dude, I'm all about it. I think that's great. There's power in numbers, man. Like, and I mean, obviously, there's you know, you got to keep, like, you can't have any weak links in the chain. You've got to, you know, all of it's got to be quality. But man, there's definitely power in numbers.
Yeah, and it is quality, and it's, you know, it's people that I work with, people that have got shows that are reputable, and it's just like, fuck, why not help each other out? And if someone is looking at my show and then goes and looks at Andy Dowling's show or Simone Springer's show or some of the other comedians over here that I work with, that's awesome.
And you're all winning. Yeah.
Everyone wins. Yeah. So that's the whole idea there. A bit of my communist streak, I guess. Trying to get us all to work for Castro.
Painting Perth red, mate.
Yeah. With little stars wherever I can.
No, I like it.
All right, so what else can we talk about music wise and I think I'm just trying to think of shit that you and I might know that might be helpful to people, because a lot of musos and also comedians and just people in arts in general listen to the show. Do you think, I mean, as far as social media, I've spoken to some guys over here that seem to think that Instagram is better value for marketing than Facebook at the moment due to the algorithms.
Yeah, but I mean, you also got to look at the fact that Facebook owns Instagram as well. So, I mean, the first thing that they implemented as soon as Facebook took Instagram over was that they synced up the chronological nature of the Instagram timeline, so that it put, you know, content that it thought was more relevant to you, or it was paid for content. So I mean, it's not that different if you get my meaning. Like, they're owned by the same people now. They've shifted it up so that when you do an ad on Facebook, it also goes over to Instagram and, you know, puts it at the front of that. So, like, yeah, look, I definitely get more likes and views and all of that sort of stuff off a post over on Instagram. But I think you just gotta remember also, like, your audience over at Instagram is probably a little bit more transient in that they're just taking in so much more content all the time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's just random
And it's gone as quickly as it's in front of you as well. Like, as much as Facebook is frustrating and all that good stuff, Instagram also has its things that are frustrating. And, you know, yeah, you'll have your wins over there that day, and then some other days you'll have your wins on Facebook as well. It really does depend on the audience. Like, as much as there's a big, like, Venn diagram where there's a big crossover of people that are on both, there are definitely people who are on one or the other. So I don't think you can really throw one out just in total preference for the other. I use them all day, every day. I use social media all day, every day. But I certainly don't profess to be an absolute, like, guru on it. I'm always learning and I'm trying to adapt as fast as the algorithms are changing. But, you know, I probably post far too much content for it to be, like, truly, you know, effective. But that's how much content I've got to share. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm constantly struggling with that because I do need to get the word out about a certain number of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes probably my reach gets a little bit fucked up. And that's why sometimes I pay for some sponsored content every now and again, because sometimes I need to make sure people see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, yeah, look, you know, there's certainly a ton of people that are making their living out of Instagram and, you know,
I think you need a nice ass, man. I think that helps.
Well, that was my next point, was like, you really, like, that kind of Instagram account, you really got to, and I think if you talk to those people that are calling themselves influencers or, you know, entrepreneurs or anything like that, I mean, that's, like, it becomes, they're putting on this lifestyle that they've got to, they're trying to portray in their, you know, stories and posts and all that sort of stuff. And it grinds them down. They're like, they can't, if it doesn't actually match up with what's happening in their life.
No.
So like they're actually, yeah, they're starting to feel like, and look, this is not all of them, but I have read articles of people who have, you know, have ended up with depression and all that sort of stuff because there's a real facade that they're putting up that they've got to maintain to keep this sponsorship money rolling in, or product endorsements they've got to try and somehow squeeze into, like, and make it feel like it's organic and natural, like they're not getting paid to spruik a fucking, you know, body tan lotion or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
It's like Wayne's World, man, where he goes, it's like people only do things before the, you know, it's exactly that.
Yeah, and look, I get it. Do whatever you got to do to get your coin and all that sort of stuff. But the way I see social media and that sort of stuff, I don't know if I could make just that my income. I use it in such a way that it advertises the business that I do have, not the business that I have.
But you know what I mean? Like, but that's because you don't have, if you looked like a 10 out of 10 supermodel, your business would be looking like a 10 out of 10 supermodel. It's a lot simpler business pricing. Well, you should have got into that.
Yeah. This is the other thing. I'm lucky enough to be an educated human being. I look at that and go, like, God damn, I just, even if I looked like that, I'm not sure I'm, like, it just seems all too, like, self-exploitative, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not here to judge them, man. They're out there getting their coin.
Hey, look, I appreciate their work. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Dude, you know,
we're all human.
They're beautiful human beings, but it seems unsustainable to me.
It's just from a
mental health point of view.
But there's some chicks that are just famous for having a nice ass, and every day it's just nice ass picture. It's like that's their life. is just taking pictures of the house.
It's an interesting new world we're in.
Do you remember when we were kids, man, and like you had to break a leg or have a birthday party for a fucking photo? You actually had to do some shit.
Yes. Oh my God.
Good old days.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but yeah, 100%.
Oh, I wasn't sure either.
Like you had to break a leg or like what? Yeah, no, dude. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Dude, I watched Bill Burr's latest Netflix special last night. It was incredible.
Oh, he's amazing, eh?
Yeah.
Walk Your Way Out?
I just actually... Yeah. The one, it's in black and white, right?
Oh, no. That's the second latest one.
Okay.
Walk Your Way Out is the new one, and that one is... Fuck.
Well, anyway, I watched that one. The black and white one.
Yeah.
And, dude, like... There's, you know, obviously there's some comments that are made in there that are obviously meant to like be barbs and that you're meant to get prickly about it, but that's precisely the point. But I just really loved just the absolute disdain for the, you know, just like stupidity of life or the stupidity of people you meet and like, you know, and it's just like, dude, just, you know. There's a whole thing about how there was a guy from Texas or something, like he's on one of those reality shows, like a pawn shop show or like
from Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, yeah. And it was about how like people were surprised that this guy said some racist, homophobic shit. It's like, well, what do you expect from this guy? Like, I don't condone a word of what he said, but like, are you really that surprised that you're offended?
He's been hanging out in the swamp with a duck whistle. Like, what?
Like, don't just yell at the guy. If anything's ever going to change, and it likely won't with him, unfortunately, but like, you're going to have to take a better tack with that guy. You're actually going to have to sit down with him and explain to him. And, you know, like yelling at him for being offensive is not going to change that guy.
No. And you know what, to be fair, at that age, probably nothing is, because I know what my dad's like, and I'm going to interview him for the podcast. I don't think he really knows what a podcast is, but I'm going to tell him he can say whatever he wants and it's unfiltered, and I'm going to start him off with the Tasmanian Water Board. That's upsetting him at the moment. And then I'll get him onto politics. And then we'll be right home to Queensland. We'll be talking Pauline. Okay. Oh, it's going to be awful, but fun.
Let me ask, just to go on a binary scale, like let's not complicate it too much, but where does he sit on the side of politics, right or left?
Oh, right.
Okay.
Not
extreme right, surely.
Oh, he's an interesting man, my father. I mean, he follows a lot of those United Patriots and all those things.
Oh no!
So he thinks Pauline Hanson's great, but Donald Trump's an idiot. Work that out.
That's a complicated web, man. How do you justify any of those statements?
You don't, but I can wind him up, and it's going to make for really, really good good entertainment.
Wow.
I love you, Dad, if you've worked out how podcasts work and you're listening, but yeah, need to fucking chill.
Well.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm going to play a bit of a game with you, man, called Cunty Questions. All right.
Wait, okay.
I feel like you're the man. You know how to get cunty, get swifty, any of those things.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm really gonna have to tell my mum not to listen to this one, but okay.
Probably, yeah. no, it's just the word cunty. It's not about vaginas or anything.
Right.
To be honest, I don't know enough to ask you questions about them. It's just fucking mysteries to me.
Conti questions.
So we start off easy, all right?
Let's go.
So,
let's go.
So, true or false? What's your favorite color?
Black.
True or false?
Oh, true or false? Right. False.
Thank you. Thank you. See, people don't pay enough attention at the start.
No, correct, correct.
So they're not about vaginas, but they are cunty, just a little bit.
Right.
So
I got the flavor now. Let's go.
So, right. This is one that I like. You can have sex with Beyonce anytime you want, but you've got to suck off Jay-Z first. Or okay. You can have sex with Melania Trump anytime you want,
yeah.
But you've got to suck off Donald first. Oh yeah, maybe your mum shouldn't listen to this. Actually, in hindsight,
no, probably not. In hindsight, yeah.
Or you can have sex with Susan Boyle anytime you want. But you've got to have sex with Susan Boyle. See, they're all unpleasant. That's the joy of it all.
I'm going to take Beyonce.
Yeah, the money and, you know. How's...
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to take Jay-Z over Donald Trump every day.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him near you.
No.
How's your gag reflex, though? Let's be honest.
It'll get a workout.
Yeah. He's got 99 problems and Price's gag reflex is one.
Exactly. You know.
Oh, shit. I've got another one here. This is one of my favorites. It's so retarded and nobody gets it. And, all right?
Okay.
So, if I have 30 cows and 28 chickens, how many didn't? 28 chickens. How many didn't?
How many what?
How many didn't?
I didn't catch that. What was it?
No, you caught it. You caught it. Right. It sounds like the question's not finished, but it right.
No.
If because when I got asked this, I said I think you're having an aneurysm. So if I have 30 cows and 28 chickens, how many didn't? Yeah. Still make no sense?
78. I don't know.
This is what it is. If I have 30 cows and 28 chickens.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's just a fucking no. Yeah. My mate asked me, I'm like, dude, I think you're having an aneurysm. That's not a fucking sentence. How many didn't what? How many didn't? Oh, I think. Yeah.
Woof. Yeah. Okay.
All right. What's another? This is one that I like. Okay. It's a tough one. All right. You're at a cliff, and your mum's hanging off the cliff, just by one hand. Uh-huh. Right. And then 10 feet away, your dad's hanging off the cliff as well. All right. You've got a very important choice to make.
Yeah.
Is Diet Coke better than Pepsi Max?
No, I hate them both.
Do you?
I hate Coke, Diet Coke and Pepsi Max. I can't stand them. They're both, I don't know what it is, man. They taste like chemicals. Like,
well, I hope you weren't hoping for a Coca-Cola sponsorship.
Well, look, I'll take Fat Coke every day of the week, but not, just the diet options are terrible.
Fat Coke.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Fuck. Oh shit. Are you still playing drums at all?
I haven't in the last 2 years, no. And it's mainly down to that. Obviously, my businesses have taken up a lot of my time. And I mean, it doesn't go away. Like I played a covers gig last year. But like I didn't rehearse or anything. I just rocked up and played, I'm not gonna lie. The first set was wobbly as hell. but no, I got through it. I finally actually got to play a gig with the Epidemic Overboys, So that was a nice nostalgia trip. So that was good. And you know, I actually flew up to Gladstone and played with them and got to spend the night with them and got drunk and stuff. It was good. But no, I haven't. And it is something that I think about going back to, but like at the moment, and this is, yeah, I've taken up like just working out a lot.
Yeah.
And like that's taking up a lot of my money, but also a lot of my time. But, dude,
it's improving your life, man. You're looking fucking great and you're going to feel better. You're going to be slinging dick like a motherfucker, you know?
And like, honestly, man, like I never in my life thought I'd be the guy that's talking about like lifting weights and like you've known me for longer than 10 years, man, for over nearly 15 now. Like that's not something that's ever been a part of my life. And like for me to pick it up now and see the absolute change in the last 6 months that I've had, like that's just been like really incredible for me. And like, and my wife Emma, she's picked it up as well. It's changed her life as well. I mean, like it's always something that I think about going back to, and I would really like to. Like even yesterday, I'm still in a bunch of Facebook groups of like people like selling secondhand kits and all that sort of stuff. And I saw one there and it was just beautiful. It was like this matte black pearl drum kit and like white hardware and all that sort of stuff. Like brand new skins on. I was like, oh shit, man, I could buy that right now. That is just an amazing looking kit. And I'm just like, fuck, I'd never get to play it. I don't have a rehearsal room. I don't have space in my apartment. You know, I could probably leave it at like my mate's. He teaches drums, but you'd probably get every kid coming in wanting to play it. And do you know what I mean? Like,
There's only so many hours in the day, man. Like, I
1,000%.
I'd love to have a band again, but I'm loving doing stand-up, and there's only one dickhead to worry about, and that's me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about four other dickheads not having jobs and spending all their money on weed and all that nonsense that goes with being in a band. It's just me. Get me there. And if I forget all my shit, that's fine, because I've remembered it. So let's fucking get up, you know?
Yeah. That's it, dude. And, you know, look, one day I will, but I don't think, you know, and I'd like to play in a band again as well, like you say, but I don't think I am at the point now where that, like, in previous times, that would have been the thing that was driving me, that I'd want to be in a band that was getting lots of gigs and being lots of exposure and all of that sort of stuff. And I've been there and I've done that, and I've played in a band where I got to play it. Blues Fest, and I got to play at festivals and touring and all that sort of stuff, and that was fun. But that's like, I don't, if I was going to play in a band now, I think I'd just want it just to get, you know, like I'll play a gig maybe once every 3-4 months, you know, because I wanted to and it was fun and I was in front of people again. Like that'd be about the motivation for me.
I was talking to Andy Dowling from Lord about this, and it's like just because you can't be in the NBA doesn't mean you can't play for your local team.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like when you've got the time, grab a kit and, you know, play the occasional cover gig or just jam with your mates or whatever. But for me, like I'm playing guitar in my act. I've got this 7-string guitar, which is my baby. Like if the house was on fire, I'd come in for the guitar.
That's the thing you'd grab.
Yeah, then the missus, then the dog, you know? Like,
I would hope that you and Tish would grab the guitar.
Nah, she's nice. I'm kidding. But I haven't played it in a year because I don't have a purpose for it. I can't really use it in my act at the moment. And that's my...
Right.
It's like, well, what? You've only got so much time. I can't... And like yourself, man, I can't fit any more in. Even fun.
Yeah.
I can't even fit fun in at the moment. Luckily, a lot of the things we do are fun.
Hey, what's this? What am I, chicken liver?
I just said that, motherfucker, all right? Don't make me come over there and fucking nut slap you. All right, man. I better let you go anyway. Hey, just give your social media and all of your websites and everything a quick plug before you go, man.
Yeah, cool. Oh, thanks so much for having a chat with me, man. And
no worries.
It's been a nice little memory lane trot. Memory lane.
Fuck, we could go. There's plenty of lanes. A bit of a taste tester for the next one. Do you remember that time you and your ex, we were all at a gig at O'Dowd's and someone flogged her bag and then we went on a manhunt?
Oh, man, I was only telling someone about this story the other day.
Yeah, all right. We'll leave that for next time because that was a fun one.
That was. Yeah. Oh, it was torrentially raining too.
Oh,
boring.
Yeah. The whole thing, the way it panned out, couldn't have been any more retarded. Like, they were... It was like fucking, like Pinky and the Brain, but the brain was out. It was just Pinky, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you do PR. If there's any Australian bands, in particular, or even US bands, fuck, half the listeners of this show are from the States. If you want Pricey to help do PR for your band, how can they contact you?
So it's on, look up Collision Course PR on Facebook, or collisioncourse.com.au is the website. And The Faction is basically The Faction Live is the website, and The Faction Live is the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that stuff, if you want to check out. And, if you want to grab the app, it's in iTunes and in Android.
Yep. And it's free.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. You get to hear me, get to hear tunes. What more do you fucking want? Hey?
Yeah, your largest interviews on tonight, man. 7 o'clock.
Oh, lovely, beautiful.
Be 5 o'clock for you.
And there'll be an alien weaponry. I'm trying to do a Kiwi accent there. There'll be that one popping up soon too.
Oh, bother! Listen to that as well.
For sure, bro. Anyone listening? Pricey's worked with you've done PR now for Rise Against, Steel Panther, Meshuggah,
Avenged Sevenfold. 12 Foot Ninja, Deadlift Circus, one other tour that I did last year, Alter Bridge, the Steel Panther one is up next month, did the Under Oath album, yeah, a bunch of stuff.
So the point is,
bit of a wild ride, man.
The point is, he knows what he's on about, all right? Like, he may be susceptible to sack wax. I mean, I've proven that over the years, but when it comes to this shit, he knows it.
Thanks, dude. Look, they're a big target, all right?
Yeah, I know. I tell you what, we should... They should build a monument in your nuts honor, I think. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hypermanic noise.